soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on October 19th, 2015. I have some things that I would say are shocking, but the thing is, it won't be shocking to most people. How is that? How does that happen where you come to where something should be so shocking or have an effect of astonishment or amazement, but the people, for the most part, are used to it, or they're not affected by things that should be abominable or atrocious or horrifying. See, there's underway in our earth, in our world today, through the various forces to degenerate people's ability to see the true state, the true condition of what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's false, what's holy, what's unholy. People are dumbed down, they are under mind control, and they are under spiritual delusion. But now there are methods and ways to avoid this, but the most of the people do not follow the instructions that are given to us by the Lord. Jesus had asked, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things I say?" Luke 6:46. "Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I say?" It's ludicrous from Jesus' perspective. Now today we're going to talk about Pastor Saul. Pastor Saul. But as I do this, I'm going to continue to have this discussion because the people have set up for themselves a leader, just like King Saul, where God was the king, the invisible king, the one that's not tangible. You can't touch him. You can't see him. You have to have spiritual senses generally to hear his voice. And the ones that are in fellowship with him in rightful standing are going to hear his voice. That's what Jesus said. "My sheep know my voice and they're known of me. I know them. I know their names. They know me. They follow me. And they won't follow strangers. They won't follow the thieves and the robbers that come that don't go through Jesus." This is in John 10. But as ancient Israel and Judah, and these things were written down that we would learn a lesson, the sad and paradoxical fact is that people have not learned from the previous example, and history repeats itself. Well, we're in the last days. This age is ending, winding down. And what is the Lord doing? He's perfecting his bride. He's perfecting his people. He's going to cause us to grow up into the full stature of the Son of Man. We're going to be blameless, holy, without rebuke, without reproof. But you have religious people that are drenched in the world, drenched in paganism, affected. Their minds are corrupted. They sit under leaders that are misleading. That is what I'm going to talk about today. We're going to talk about misleaders. It's actually a word in the dictionary. In the English dictionary, it's a noun. One that misleads, misguides, leads astray. Who does that? The devil. And he has sons that are just like him. But cunning, crafty, they use scripts, they transfigure themselves, they transform themselves, and it's all, everything they do in word and deed is to manipulate and deceive people and lead them to where they want them to be. But you could have eyes to see all this and not be led astray. We're in the last days. We're going to be growing up into Jesus Christ, and I'm talking about the true disciples of Jesus. They have the testimony of Jesus. They love not their life unto the death, and they overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And what is Jesus saying? That is the testimony of Jesus. Do you know what he's saying today? Oh, you've been told that the Lord doesn't speak anymore, that we just read the Bible. Or you can follow men that will tell you what the Lord says, but they tell you cannot know his voice on your own. Oh, really? Well, this is what Pastor Saul does. For the people insisted that God not be their God, but that they would have a physical, tangible king, one they could see, watch, hear, listen, observe with natural senses, just like all the other nations. They didn't want to be the unique nation, the special treasure of the Lord. No. And God gave them what they asked for. There's a paradox in the world today. And you need to have eyes to see, a heart to perceive. You need to have ears to hear. We're going to show, we're going to talk about from the scriptures what the cost is for not doing these things. Listen, let me tell you something that Jesus said. He one time found a man that had a lot of things together. He had a lot of right behavior. We call him righteous. And the Lord loved him, it says. But he was rich, and he trusted in his riches, and he loved his riches. And Jesus said it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to go through and be saved. So his disciples asked in Luke 13:23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand outside without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in your presence. You've taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, all over the world, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and the first shall be last. Listen, this rich man had a lot together. Jesus loved him. But he said, what is impossible for man is possible with God. And Jesus said in Matthew 19:16, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, you shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What do I lack? Jesus said unto him, if you will be perfect, go and sell that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Isn't that sad? He's sad that he could have eternal life, all things that he needs, God's richest blessings without sorrow, have eternal life. And he thought his goods and his coins and his metals and his cattle and whatever else possessions he had were greater. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, for it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. With men this is impossible. Not gonna happen. But with God, all things are possible. And I'm sharing this for you today to realize that there's a lot of people that think they're gonna be saved. There's a lot of people that think God's their friend. But God says, you're not my friend because you don't do what I say. You don't do what I want you to do. You don't do my will. You don't even know what I'm saying. You're lost. It's impossible to be saved except by God. So how much do you need God today? You absolutely need God. Because as I said, a snare is being set, both by God is setting for the disobedient, and the devil is setting a snare to trap as many as he can to take to the lake of fire that burns forever. And God will let people go right into that snare because they've been hypocrites, because they've not been obedient to follow him. Misleader. There's leaders, all right. As King Saul was a leader, and he was disobedient to the Lord and did not obey God, and he had a position of king, an honorable king, and the Lord tore it from him. And there's men today that have usurped Jesus Christ, disobeyed his teaching, disobeyed his doctrine, taken the place of Jesus, and stand before the people as a shepherd, as a pastor with a title. They're hirelings, a professional. They have letters, they have training, they have false doctrine, and they introduce customs and traditions that are the commandments of men, and even paganized, glossed over, Christianized, so that people accept them and embrace them. All these things go on today. Brick and mortar religion. Misleaders. A misleader is someone who leads astray, often deliberately. I'll read it again. What is a misleader? Someone who leads astray, often deliberately. It really doesn't matter whether someone's lying to you on purpose or doesn't realize they're spilling a lie. The effects are the same. Whether they're purposely leading you astray or don't know they're leading you astray, the result is the same. And the blind people follow the blind guides. They both fall in the ditch, is what Jesus said. And Jesus said, abandon them. You have to do what Jesus said. 1 Samuel 15:16. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart ye, go ye down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until you came to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, disobedient to the Lord, rationalized his disobedience. Listen, it gets worse. And the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, it looked good, as Eve would say. And it would not utterly destroy them, but everything it was that was vile and refused, he did, and utterly destroyed it utterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel the prophet, saying, it repents me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried to the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what do you mean this, the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Remember, the Lord said, kill them. Why am I hearing the animals? And Saul said, oh, they've been brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Saul's leaning to his own understanding. He's Saul the rebel. He's Saul the pastor. He's leader over the people. He usurps God, and we're going to find out what God does. God says, you haven't followed me. You haven't done what I told you to do. You misrepresent me to the people. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When you were little in your own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king of over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? That's how God looks at it, ladies and gentlemen. You better look at things how God looks at things, and not how you look at things, and not how man thinks. You better make sure you're listening to the Lord and delighting to do his will. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He started to argue, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Listen, hast the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. That's 1 Samuel 15:22, ladies and gentlemen. God has said it in the Word. It's forever settled in heaven. You better learn a lesson from this. And if God rose you up to be a leader, to be an example, to follow Jesus and lead before people, you better be obedient. You better be on what he told you to do the way he told you to do it. That's what a disciple is. It's a learner, a follower. Obedient. If he tells you to speak, you speak faithfully his word. Don't add to it. What's the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? But he that speaks my word, speak it faithfully. If he tells you what to do, then you do it. Don't rationalize. Don't be affected by the world, those around you, the other rebels that are doing the same thing. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You can study it. But I'm talking today about the misleaders that are as their pastor Saul. There's no such thing in the administration of the kingdom of God today with Lord Jesus Christ, head of the church, head of the body of Christ, of the assembly of the Lord, the assembly of the righteous. There's no such thing as men being masters over God's heritage. It's unscriptural. Who did this? The enemy did it. The Pharisees did it. The builders that the scriptures talks about that reject the cornerstone. In the spirit of Babylon, they build and they resist God, and God hinders them, but they rebuild like ants. And they're going to do what they're going to do, what they're going to do, just like a stubborn ox. But God will have the last laugh. There's no such thing as an overlord over the flock of God, 1 Peter 5:1-3. And among the brethren, we're brethren. We're not to have titled men. Read Matthew 23. They wear special clothing. They go far and wide to get a proselyte. And they ruin people's life, twice the child of hell than themselves. The pastor Sauls, the masters, they call themselves great titles of apostle and pastor, and pastor and shepherd and prophet, evangelist. They misuse what the word says. Those are gifts of Christ that among the brethren that through the Holy Spirit minister, but they're not hirelings. They're not paid professionals trained in religion. This is something God is bringing correction for. Are you going to receive the word? Then be humble and broken and instructed by the Lord. Matthew 21:42-45. Have you not heard the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And Jesus told them, the Pharisees, the rulers of the synagogues, that the kingdom was taken from them and given to another nation bearing forth the fruit thereof. Whoever falls upon this rock shall be broken, but whoever it falls upon shall grind him to powder. Yes, they perceived Jesus was speaking of them. He had them and refuted them completely for what they were doing, their manner of what they were doing, and the hypocrisy, and the harming people, putting bondage on people, distorting God's word, misrepresenting the Lord because they were Sauls. And God rejects them, and they disobey the word of the Lord, and they distort the word. These are things that are going on in our world today. Mislead. To lead or guide wrongly. To lead astray. To lead into error of conduct. That's behavior. Thought. Doctrine. The way you value. The way you think. Or judgment. The way you assess what is right. What is wrong? What is of God? What is not of God? I'm going to speak to you today from Isaiah chapter 8. This chapter is amazing. God spoke to Isaiah in Isaiah 8, 11. Indeed, this is what the Lord told me. He took hold of me firmly and warned me not to act like these people. He said, do not say conspiracy every time these people say the word, or an illegitimate alliance. Don't be afraid of what scares them. Don't be terrified, the Lord said to Isaiah. You must recognize the authority of the Lord who commands armies. He's the one you must respect. He's the one you must fear. Amen. He will become a sanctuary, but a stone that makes a person trip, and a rock that makes one stumble to the two houses of Israel. He will become a trap and a snare to the residents of Jerusalem. We're having here the teaching of Jesus that's quoted throughout the apostles' writing, that the Lord is a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. People stumble over the word. They stumble over the Lord. They stumble over faith. They stumble over what the Lord requires of them. They stumble over the lordship of Jesus. They're offended by what he says. They're offended by what he requires. Many will stumble over the stone and the rock and will fall and be seriously injured and will be ensnared and captured. These are the enemies of the Lord. These are the ones that refuse to submit to him. And Jesus said in Luke 19, bring all those that would not that I submit, that I rule over them and slay them before me. That's the real Jesus. He's the one you should respect. He commands the armies of the Lord, the hosts of heaven. He's the one you must respect. He's the one you must fear, not man. Not he that can destroy you and throw you into a pit, but he that can throw you into hell. Fear him. Keep things in perspective. Tie up the scroll as a legal evidence and seal the official record of God's instructions and give it to my followers, my disciples. I will wait patiently for the Lord who has rejected the family of Jacob, and I will wait for him. Look, I and the sons whom the Lord has given me are reminders and object lessons in Israel, sent from the Lord who commands armies, who lives on Mount Zion. They will say to you, seek oracles at the pits used to conjure up underworld spirits, from the magicians who chirp and mutter incantations. Should people not seek oracles from their gods by asking the dead about the destiny of the living? The Lord here is chiding the abominable acts of ancient Israel and Judah, acting as New Age worshipers peeping into familiar spirits as they do today. Nothing is new under the sun. Then you must recall the Lord's instructions and the prophetic testimony of what would happen. Certainly they say such things because their minds are spiritually darkened In the King James, it says, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. We're talking about Pastor Saul, the rebel. The leaders that exalt themselves as masters, which Jesus says you shall not do. Matthew 23:8-10. Matthew 20:25. Mark 10:42, 1 Peter 5:1-3. How many scriptures do we relay here and you just ignore them? You're going to do it anyway? John 10, Jesus said, all that came before me were thieves and robbers. They won't go through the door. It's a parable. They're hirelings. They're strangers. But Jesus said, my sheep follow me. They know my voice. They won't follow the voice of the stranger. And all this is important because the religious world of today, the denominations, the sects, the schisms, the variations of religious church forms that are of synagogues, brick and mortar, filled with leaven, filled with error and falsehood and rebellion to the Lord, just like Saul, adding and subtracting, surmising, guessing, peeping. These are the things. And then when the master of the house arises up and shuts to the door, they'll be the ones knocking on the door, asking the Lord to let them in. But he shall say, no, I do not know you. You're lawless. You never submitted to me. You did not do the will of my Father. You did not listen to my voice. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Stay tuned for To The Point Report with Trevor Davis. RealtyReportNetwork.com.
And To The Point Report with Trevor Davis, October 19, 2015, a Monday, on the Telegraph. IMF reports a $3 trillion corporate credit crunch looms as debtors face day of reckoning. The article goes on and states, a poisonous triad of global risk is pushing the world to the brink of a new financial crisis, says Stark IMF report. Governments and central banks risk tipping the world into a fresh financial crisis, the International Monetary Fund has warned, as it called time on a corporate debt binge in the developing world. Emerging market companies have overborrowed by $3 trillion in the last decade, reflecting a quadrupling of private sector debt between 2004 and 2014, found the IMF's Global Financial Stability Report. Basically, unstable. This dangerous over-leveraging now threatens to unleash a wave of defaults that will imperil an already weak global economy, said Stark findings from the IMF's twice-yearly report. And this is important, ladies and gentlemen, as was reported here on To The Point Report. On August 24, 2015, a Monday morning saw the largest decline in the Dow Jones Industrial Average in world history. Catastrophic, over 1,000 points. Ladies and gentlemen, that was not even 2 months at this point of recording this broadcast today. Historic drop. Don't ignore it. Yes, the market is bouncing, and sellers look to sell on the bounces, and market fund managers look to exit on bounces. Wouldn't you? You always want to buy a good deal. You buy it low. If you're going to sell, be a shorter. You're going to sell on a high. Russia Today warns that America is a bomb waiting to explode. Read that article, ladies and gentlemen. Destruction of farms and reliable food source. Weak economic system. Morals in decline. Americans increasingly on mind-altering drugs. That's the picture. Again, this was a good story. Telling it like it is from Russia Today about the state of America.
I'm Trevor Davis, RealtyReportNetwork.com. This has been a production of RealtyReportNetwork.com with Trevor Davis.
We hope you find this broadcast helpful. To contact Trevor Davis, go to RealtyReportNetwork.com or call 866-536-4605.